listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
What must I go through to show you shit is real? And I ain't really never gave a fuck of how niggas feel. Robbed and I steal. Not cause I want to, because I had to. And you don't make me show you with the Magnum. If you don't know by now, then you're slipping. And I'm on that bullshit. And they got me jacking niggas flipping. I got my man and they say pretty much I'ma stay shitty. Crimey, it's all about the money. Is you with me? Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Tips podcast. Your host, Rod and
Karen. I don't think that's how those lyrics go.
I don't think that's how they
go. Okay, because I'm about to say.
Those words didn't feel right.
No, and it was no barking. So I'll just, yeah, that's not correct.
Anyway, we are live on a Monday. Supergirl Monday, episode 2.
Yes! I'm excited. It's a really good show. For those of you who have not watched the first episode, watch the first episode. It's very good.
No doubt, man. And also, Monday Night Football, Karen's Panthers play tonight.
Woo!
So, we got that going for us. Let's go ahead and get into the show.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Black Guy Who Tips. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Just leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and Stitcher. We'll read it on the show come Saturday morning. We do our feedback show. Also, you can do things at theblackguywhotips.com, such as become a premium member, theblackguywhotips.com/premium, or you can support the show through donations, things of that nature. You can also leave comments, vote in the polls, a lot of stuff like that that helps the show out tremendously, and we love everybody that does that. You definitely got to support the media that you want to continue to hear, man. That's what keeps us around, really.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what else we got going on. Also follow us on social media. I'm Rodimus Prime on Twitter.
I am Say That Again. That as in DAT.
And our show Twitter handle is TBGWT, and it tweets out a lot of useful information and links to things that you may not know about, like our friends of the show and ways like the premium link, the when new episodes come out, it tweets those things.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to miss anything. You can just always go there. The official, did I already say official weapon? Yeah,
hey,
I think I said
so?
That. Today marks day 320.
No, you didn't.
I didn't?
Taser.
Oh. The official weapon of the show is
Taser.
An unofficial sport.
Bullet ball.
A bullet ball extreme. And today marks day 320 that Bobby Shmurda is locked up in jail. No trial. Can't even get a trial, y'all. And today's show is also sponsored. This episode is brought to you by Bevel, the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. You can check out getbevel.com today. Use code TBGWT and you can get 20% off of your first month at getbevel.com. That's GETBEVEL.com. All right, man. All kinds of stuff is happening. So we might as well get to talking about it. What were you going to say, Karen?
Let's do this.
Oh, okay. I thought you were about to say something. First thing is I was going to say is hopefully everybody had a happy Halloween.
Mm-hmm. I did.
Yeah. I didn't dress up or anything, but I had a good Halloween.
Yeah, we did. We had a really good.
I mean, we didn't even hand out candy. We didn't really celebrate it.
No.
It was just Halloween.
Yeah, we didn't do that part, but I actually had a real good Halloween for me personally because I loved all the costumes and outfits of the little children and even some of the adults and
on Twitter and social media.
Right. Like that literally made my Halloween. Like the babies were so precious and it was some adults that actually dressed up as the children and some children dressed up as adults. And it was just oh, my heart was just so full just watching all the pictures and parents being proud and all the candy everybody was getting. Like it was actually a very, very good day. I know me and Roger just go out and I knew it was a holiday quote unquote per se, but when you go out, because we had went to Mavericks.
Yeah, we went out to a restaurant to get something to eat, and everybody was dressed up in Halloween costumes.
Yeah, and it was a trip, though, because the waitress had on, like, a Catwoman outfit.
Yeah, it was, like, a tight black leather, plastic leather thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, all the frat boys, and they were trying to holler at her and shit.
Yeah, She did look cute in it, but I didn't hear it, but you were saying that they was basically talking to her like they was on the porn shoot or some shit.
It sounded like the interview before you do porn. It was like, how long you had them titties? When's your first time having sex? Like, they were just saying, like, so did you make your costume yourself? How much of it was made? Like, it was just, I'm talking to a pretty girl. How can I keep her talking?
Right.
You know, where you from? Come here often? You know, it's like, I'm at work, man.
Right. I'll be here even when you're gone, sir.
And one dude, our waiter, who I think is some kind of brown, maybe yes. Native American.
Mm-hmm.
And he dressed in Native American garb for Halloween. And those white people didn't know how to handle it.
they did not know how to.
Got pretty insensitive pretty quick.
Yeah, the dude bros was in full alert. They weren't in outfits, but they was lit and in full alert.
Like, I don't know, because they couldn't know he was brown under there unless they came there often.
Right.
So I don't know if they just thought he was a white dude wearing Native American garb.
And they may
what.
Have, yeah, because we seen the dude without the makeup, so yeah, we know he's some brown descent.
Yeah, and they would just, I think one of them started singing the Indian song to him and stuff.
Yeah, one of them went into him and started like howling like the like Native Americans do, you know, like making their calls and shit.
Stereotypical Hollywood Native American. Well, we don't even know that that's what they sound like. You know, I was thinking the other day.
We don't
even know what Native American food like. Why don't we have Native American restaurants?
Oh, I would love that.
But we don't even have them. Like, you know what I mean? Now I'm not saying nowhere. I'm sure there's two or three.
I mean, yeah.
There's some in America somewhere.
Right.
Or maybe just their food has been completely colonized and ripped off. And now what we know as white people food is really like Native American food. I have no idea.
Right.
Maybe Mexican food is the closest we have to Native American food. What I'm saying is in America, you can go to an Italian restaurant. You can go to a French restaurant.
We went to an Indian place today.
Yeah, we went to an Indian place, but you can't go to a Native American place, an indigenous people's place. Why don't we have those in America?
Yeah, you know.
Like, we erased their entire culture off of the map and just, like, not even food is left.
Right, we put them in a circle and be like, y'all cool here, we get y'all some casinos, but y'all stay within this circle.
Man, that's some genocide for your ass.
Right. Basically, you just eliminated like a whole culture.
Right.
You know, and the thing about it is that America's so dumb. You know, if it was a Native American or Native descent type of restaurant, the fuckers were coming there thinking it was Thanksgiving every day.
I don't know. I just feel like there's no like there's not a chain. There's not a. You know what I mean? Like, that seemed like some shit you would have to search for. Like, you're not gonna just run across one. You're not gonna be like, oh, I was passing my Chili's and right next to it was this Native American place. I just had never had it before. Mm-hmm. Like,
somebody.
You're gonna have to go find that shit.
Yeah, somebody would have to tell you, but just about, well, yeah. Cause you have kind of Creole and soul and like French. Like, if you looking for the restaurant of every culture just about, you can find it here in our country.
Yeah, I just noticed someone in the chat room doesn't know what the Indian song is. They think it's just that stereotypical like, ooh, shit. That's not what I was talking about. I think it's actually called the Indian song.
Okay.
That song that's like, go my son. Is this it?
Hey, do you know any things about the Indians? Listen. Indian buildings very tall.
I don't think this is the song you're talking about, is it?
Building wigwams, please don't fall.
Yeah, I don't think this is it.
I don't think so either.
Build those teepees very high.
Man, we don't know shit about Indians.
Yep.
Teaching that to our kids. That's what our kids be learning about.
Yeah, I'm trying to tell you because, you know, most people go in there, where the corn, where the stuffing? They were like, you do know that we a little bit, you know, more than that. What a maze? Shit, half of them I don't know what the fuck a maze is.
Yeah, the one I'm talking about is called "It's Go My Son," and oh, they got it on YouTube. Okay, so I guess they don't have it on.
We are very proud to present to you a song that has come to mean a great deal to the Indian people. It was written by two Indian students at BYU, Arlene Nafchisi Williams and Karin Spurson. The name of the song is Go My Son.
Yeah, we had to sing this at our sixth grade graduation.
Long ago, an Indian war chief counseled his people in the way they should walk. He wisely told them that education is the ladder
to 45.
Happiness. Go, my son, and climb that ladder.
That's the song I'm talking about. When we had to sing in sixth grade, though, they had a recording of like a stereotypically deep voiced Native American person. They're like, go my son.
Yeah, because the thing about it is that culture is very, it's a very, very rich culture, and it's a lot that can be learned, but you know.
It's also very diverse. Like, it's not even like there's one tribe of Indians. There's like different tribes, different peoples, different beliefs, different faiths, different customs, and yet, that's just, it's gone. Like, even if I went to a Native American restaurant, I don't even know what that would really mean. Like, is it, you know, what tribe is it? Is it Cherokee Native American restaurant? Right. Is it Blackfoot Native American restaurant? Right. Or black, you know, like, I don't know.
Right, and maybe it's just me, but I kind of, and I this might be racist, but.
Oh, God.
I'm gonna say this shit anyway. For me, a lot of times, I can tell the food is authentic if wherever I'm going, like the cooks and the people, like if you hear the language, like if you walk in there and you hear people speaking Italian or, you know what I mean, like the culture language, I go, oh, okay, yeah, like they ain't give me no, like if I go to Olive Garden, you know, I'm not gonna get no real Italian that's back in the back that came over here from Sicily. I'm not gonna get that.
All right, I'll allow it.
Thank you.
Let me just move on from this before it gets worse. 43. Authentic food. 43 Chipotle locations had to close due to E. coli outbreak in Washington and Oregon.
Shit.
Watch out, Nina. And my man People's Critic.
I know, that's up in their area.
They voluntarily closed 43 of its Washington and Oregon locations as health officials investigate an outbreak of E. coli food poisoning linked to the restaurant chain. At least 22 people, 19 in Washington and 3 in Portland, Oregon, have been sickened as a result of the bacteria, the Seattle Times reports. You know what's funny about this? They had to add voluntarily. Like, hey, man, we closed on our own, okay, guys? Mm-mm. It wasn't like they made us, like, we are cooperating, all right?
Shit, you closed because you fuckers don't get sued.
Of those, 8 people have been hospitalized. Health officials are continuing to investigate the source of the E. coli. CNN confirms no one has died as a result of the outbreak. In a statement, Chipotle spokesman Chris Arnold tells Eater, we immediately closed all of our restaurants in the area out of an abundance of caution, even though the vast majority of those restaurants have no reported problems. We are working with health department officials to determine the cause of the issue. We offer our deepest sympathies to those who have been affected by the situation.
That, and you know what's so funny? When shit like this happen, you look at the motherfuckers and go, y'all want to defund regulations to keep people's health safe, right?
Who, Chipotle does?
Not Chipotle, but like a lot of people in government, they want to cut, slash. Yeah. And you're like, motherfuckers would get sick and goddamn die if if FDA and the people didn't check the restaurants and shit like that, because they, you know, their job is not to care. Their job is to make money.
Despite its rising reputation as a healthy, fast, casual option, in 2015 has not been a great year for Chipotle from a Department of Health standpoint. In August, more than 60 customers were sick after eating at a California Chipotle restaurant. Health officials later identified the cause is poisoning as the norovirus, a highly contagious foodborne illness spread through food, water, and contact with the infected. Then in September, a salmonella outbreak related to tomatoes was linked to 17 Chipotle restaurants.
Shit, we might have to stop eating. I ain't trying to get sick now.
Shit, I'm trying to get sick. I ain't worried about it.
I am.
I eat Qdoba anyway. In Minnesota.
Yeah, because they ain't, Chipotle ain't got no queso.
In Minnesota, 45 people got sick. So yeah, man, shit is real out here on these Chipotle streets, man. Watch your back.
Yeah, you're gonna be healthy, all right, because you done got sick, so you won't be eating nothing.
I wonder if like 10 years from now or however many years, we'll start seeing like outbreaks because people didn't get their kids vaccinated.
Yes, we will.
I wonder if that's gonna happen.
Yes, we will. We're gonna start seeing some of the most ridiculous shit that we have completely eradicated or very, very small people got because you have these crazy folks that's like, nah, I ain't getting my kid vaccinated. It ain't a problem. It ain't a problem because fuckers got it vaccinated. What's your problem?
Yeah. So apparently, over the weekend, Hillary Clinton had an event that got interrupted by Black Lives Matter supporters. Hillary Clinton vowed to take executive action to ban the box at a rally in Atlanta Friday, where she was met with the biggest protest yet by Black Lives Matter activists at one of her events. About a dozen protesters interrupted Clinton's speech, singing and chanting for at least 10 minutes before being escorted out. Banning the box refers to removing questions about criminal convictions from job applications. Clinton acknowledged protesters' Black Lives Matter chants, saying, yes, they do, but kept talking, although much of the audience couldn't hear what she was saying over the noise. I wonder if did they take the video down? Like there was video at some point, or maybe it's still loading.
It might be ban the box, yeah, and I think they should ban the box, like, because a lot of people can't get jobs because of that. Sometimes it doesn't, if you check that box, you just eliminate it. People don't want to admit that, people don't want to say the bias, you know. You may rarely have incidents where people will actually look and investigate and, you know, talk to people on an individual basis.
Mm-hmm.
But once you check that box, no.
Well, President Obama will order the federal government to ban the box.
Good.
In order to remove barriers to employment for formerly incarcerated, President Obama will order federal employers to ban the box in the early stages of the application and hiring process. Monday's announcement is the result of mounting pressure from legal groups and former inmates. The decision, which will be announced during the president's trip to Newark, New Jersey, will require federal government's Human Resources Department to delay inquiries into criminal history until later in the hiring process. Although it does not ban the criminal background question altogether, job applicants are more likely to receive an offer if the question is posed later in the application process. So that, you know, it's, so instead of just, up, this guy's got a record, we're not even going to interview him, give him a chance, give him a shot.
Right. See what he's made of. See, is he changed or anything?
Now, these are just federal jobs.
Right.
So this still has to extend to private employers and other businesses as well.
Right.
You know, in July, he called on employers to eliminate criminal history questions from job applications, but stopped short of executive action. Several weeks later, ban the box advocates rallied in front of the White House to pressure Obama to take executive action. People who lived through the experience of leaving prison and struggling to find work shared how demoralizing the barrier to employment can be.
And it can be, because they're going through a process where they're getting ready to release a lot of prisoners because they have reduced the sentences for non-violent crimes and small, you know, petty crimes that had like the three strikes you out, or you do some shit and it has, hey, you do some shit, you got a minimum of 5 years, fuck you, 10 years, however it is. And so with you having all these people, they got to work, like, with the system the way it is now, it's just designed for you get a tick or a mark on your record, that shit is there for life. And for most people, they have done some fucked up shit that if some of the laws were in place now, back then, a lot of people would be in jail now, but they got their nose turned up at these criminals because they quote unquote didn't get caught, didn't get arrested, you know. Police may have, you know, did other things, or they got them expunged from their records. But it's just one of those things where a lot of people assume that just because you went to jail, you committed a crime, or just because you went to jail, you justified it. And that's not always so. There are a lot of people that went to jail and they are completely innocent. You know, we don't consider those people, but those people are treated the same.
More importantly than any of that is just this idea that even if you did it, what about rehabilitation? Right. That's the point of, like, when did we decide that going to jail for something meant you could no longer contribute to society? You couldn't pay your penance and then get back to whatever you do well, or, you know, get trained to do something other than crime and then to come out and use that knowledge. And it's, you know, we talk a good game, but then we don't actually exercise on that. Like, we do the, oh, you go to jail, all you learn how to do is be a better criminal. But then whenever someone does get out who has tried to rehab themselves, we're like, oh no, I don't want to work with that person, you know? So yeah, I it's definitely hypocrisy, and I'm glad that the president's addressing it. I'm glad that they bring it up, brought it up to Hillary Clinton, because it, you know, it's a matter. It matters, and it's also a part of this. The thing about Black Lives Matter that a lot of people just haven't gathered is it's not just about getting shot in the streets. Mm-hmm. It's about all Black Lives Matter, whether it's Black trans lives, whether it's Black former inmates, incarcerated people, convicted people, whether it's, a student who doesn't want to, get up from her desk. Whether, you know, like, it's all lives. It's all Black lives, not just some of them. Those lives matter too, and they need to be, addressed. And that's one of the reasons I don't expect any presidential candidate to be able to address every single issue. But, at the same time, I expect the pressure to be applied to them as Black Lives Matter and, many other people have said that it would be. So you can't, can't be mad at them for doing this. Now, here's, apparently the video of it. Let me see. Cause NBC News will not load for me. I don't know. Maybe Hillary had them take it down. I don't know. She powerful enough to be like, take that shit off. It better never load. All right. It looks like it's loading on ABC News. So the official news station of the Blackout Tips. So the rest of the crowd starts chanting Hillary.
Now, my friends, I am going to get to some very important points that actually prove that Black lives do matter and we have to take action together.
It's still funny to hear somebody say, I'm gonna prove it. I know, it's like a magic trick. I know. Right now, everyone in the room agrees, Black lives do not matter. But watch what I'm about to do. Watch, I'm about to set it off up in here.
I'm about to pull the rabbit out the hat, y'all.
Ta-da!
And I hope that we'll have a chance to talk more, as I have been meeting with activists from the Black Lives Matter movement.
That's it? I don't know. The article said they interrupted her for 10 minutes and had to be escorted out. Oh, wait. I don't want to hear. I don't care about this guy. I don't know what that dude was talking about. But yeah. So they said the crowd eventually erupted. Let her talk. Let her talk. Let her talk. And the activist left the Clark University Gymnasium. U.S. Representative John Lewis, who introduced Clinton, tried to get the protesters to stop shouting and eventually rejoined Clinton on stage in a show of support. That's what he was there for. I don't have any disrespect towards John Lewis. He's put his life on the line for Black people's lives and rights several times. But this is the thing that I said about President Obama when he was interrupted by the trans woman who was talking about immigrants who are put in incarceration facilities and detained, and they were being sexually abused and assaulted, and their rights were, put in the wrong facilities, like their rights were being, and I was like, you know what? This is everybody doing their job. Everybody has to do their job. The president has to do his job, but protesters gotta do their job too.
Yes, they do.
And you can't just pick and choose, like,
what causes
for I needed to look a certain way. No, you want people to be quiet so that business can go on as usual, and you cannot think about that shit. And I do appreciate these people interrupting her. It was also promised. So I guess all the people that were like, why you gotta interrupt Bernie? I guess those people are gone now.
Yeah,
like where are they at? None of them people came back to my mentions to be like, oh, I guess you were right. They weren't just focused on Bernie. Black Lives Matter gotta matter to everybody, every candidate. They gonna get some of the Republicans too. They already got a couple. Like, it's gotta matter to everybody. Now, I don't expect the Republicans to do shit about it, but the point being, it's gotta matter to everybody. And I like that they had these candidates scared. I like that they had this thing on their agenda where they might get confronted and have to address it.
Yeah, they're like, you're gonna address it whether you want to or not, because it's just one of those things where people need to know your stance on it. And how you feel about it matters.
And after all the work that has been done, during the first Democratic debate, there was one question asked, and it was the most disrespectful way to ask about it. It was, does Black Lives Matter or do all lives matter? You haven't learned shit. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's gotta keep happening.
Right.
It's gotta keep happening. Like, that's such a fucking softball volleyball, and it's the only question asked in a Democratic election where you're expecting to get 90% of the black vote. I know they're all expecting it because they're expecting it because Obama got it. They're expecting 90-something% of black people not just to vote for them, but they're also probably expecting a high turnout from black people. And they might not get either one if they keep fucking ignoring this
shit, because people will stay at home. I don't know why people think that's not an option.
Yeah. Clinton said at a protest, I'm sorry they didn't listen because some of what they've been demanding I'm offering. Yeah, I mean, that has to be expected. I don't think they were there to listen. They were there to be heard. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that means they're going to have, you know, I don't think anybody walked up in there protesting and thought, and then we'll just, you know, have a nice meeting and some tea. They were like, we're going to get kicked out after we do our thing. But that's the point. So yeah, the ban in the box thing apparently is what this one was about. So hopefully at least this time people won't go, what do they want? Even though every time they say what they want, say her name. Well, I don't understand. What do they want?
People are dumb.
I'm so confused.
Yeah, I'm tired of dummies and idiots.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens with that, but you know, I heard this time I wasn't involved. I only heard that, you know, people were harassing folks on social media about it, and really you know, doing the whole black people don't know what's best for them, you know, the things that they always say when black people speak up for themselves. It's like, you know, but I don't think Hillary supporters are nearly as proactive, I guess, as Bernie supporters. And also, she has a lot more haters than Bernie has. So there's a lot of people who, even if they don't agree with Black Lives Matter, they're not going to say anything because they just want her to take a hit, basically.
Right. That's why all the Bernie people are quiet.
Yeah. No warm and fuzzies on left a comment. Hillary will say they matter, which is racist in nature. Please insert and other race and march in traffic and see what happens. Hillary stated her worst and cherished enemy is the NRA, ISIS, Russia, etc. The NRA, not an enemy of the state. No NRA member is doing school shootings. They were all Democrats. Jesus Christ. Wow, 8 people like that. Why shouldn't there be a box for criminal convictions? I'm a left-wing liberal, and that makes no sense to me. I mean, any sensible employer is going to run a background check on a potential employee on the Get Verified website, which will reveal all past wrongdoing, but banning the box is just stupid. Oh, man.
Yeah, and the thing about it is that, for, like I said before, a lot of people, especially a lot of, I'm just keep it real, especially for a lot of white people, a lot of white people break crimes that black people go to jail for in general, even though we do commit the crimes at the same rate. So a lot of shit that we get felonies and, you know, go to jail for us of time, depending on the area, the community, their privilege kicks in. So for a lot of white people, they're like, well, fuck it, you know, I'm not a criminal. Well, yeah, technically you are, you just didn't get caught, so you can always ignore that fucking box, because society tells you that if you fuck up or you get caught, you can go to jail. But even if you do get caught, a lot of times you can get shit expunged and all that stuff. Not all white people, because I understand all white people ain't got money like that, but in general, we commit crimes, brown people and white people, at the same rate, but we get convicted at a lot higher rate.
Black Lives Matter needed to be made unpopular. It's a right for people to have this, but why not teach people to act, not to act this way? How do you teach them? Some say it starts at home. Talk to the parents. Yes, I'm yelling. Oh my God.
People are dumb.
Anyway. So, yeah, I don't know.
100? Yes.
Yeah. And the thing is, even her reaction, because I know people are going to be like, well, how come people aren't mad at her like they were at Bernie? Even her reaction was better.
Yes, it was.
She didn't leave the stage. She didn't go home. She didn't say, you don't want me to be here? Then da-da-da-da. She actually handled it kind of similar to how President Obama handles getting heckled, where he does the, you're welcome to sit here and listen to what I have to say about, you know, some, and address these issues. You know, only thing she didn't do is that I can meet with you afterwards, which I think is, the right way to go. You know, even if you don't, but you should say, I will meet with you afterwards. But you know, he's much better at handling this kind of shit anyway. But mm-hmm. I just think, her reaction was better than Bernie's reaction at the time. Bernie was just very much, fuck y'all, don't, you know, how dare you question me?
Mm-hmm. His stance are terrible.
I saw this video going around from BuzzFeed.
Why do you assume only other races like fried chicken?
That's right. These questions are white questions from white people to white people. Okay.
Why do you assume only other races like fried chicken? I love fried chicken. It should be a white person stereotype because of me.
33 questions white people have for white people. All right.
Why do we make it so we only have pumpkin in the fall? I want pumpkin all the time.
Why can't most white people dance?
Seriously, like, is it genetic or something? Do we have, like, stiff hips or, like, two left feet?
I can dance.
Why do you get so annoyed when other people don't speak English?
English is hard. We have silent Ks.
Why do we get so excited to brag on Instagram that we went to this really cool, authentic cultural festival, even though we went with all of our white friends?
Why do white people spray tan until they turn orange?
Can't you just be comfortable in your own body?
I'm just saying, it's not tan, it's orange.
Why do you think that since you've seen 5 seasons of The Wire, you're a cultural expert?
Why do you believe everything you see on TV when it comes to other races?
Why do we get upset when a TV show becomes diverse, even though diverse usually just means 2 to 3 people of color?
Why do you assume movies with white stars are automatically more relatable than movies with people of color?
People of color have had to relate to white characters for all of cinematic history.
Why is Viola Davis the first black woman to win an Emmy for Best Actress?
Why aren't we complaining that the Oscars and other award shows are, like, all white?
It's just like white people congratulating other white people on being white.
Everybody should be white.
Why don't we know the difference between appropriation and appreciation?
Why can't we figure out how to make our own pop culture, our own slang, our own cool clothes, instead of stealing other people's cool clothes and then saying that they are our cool clothes?
Why are white people obsessed with Wes Anderson?
Why would you ever say thug life? It's a bad life.
What do you have against seasoning and spiciness? Didn't Christopher Columbus discover America looking for spices?
What are casual?
Why do you try to avoid confrontation at all costs?
Why is it crazy that I'm white and I have a big butt?
Why do you make such a big deal when somebody doesn't want to hike?
Why do you keep talking about reverse racism? That is not a thing.
We are the people in power.
Racism is about oppression. Sorry, white people have not been oppressed.
Why are you too afraid to speak up when someone says something racist?
Why do we think that having one friend of color means that nothing we say or do could possibly ever be racist?
Why does being half white automatically make my commentary on white culture only half true? I am just as much white as I am Mexican.
Why do you believe that Black Lives Matter means that your life doesn't matter?
Every life matters. It's just that one has a harder time living.
Why do you get offended when you see a table full of black people, but not when you see a lunchroom full of white people?
Why do you always ask?
Oh, that's so true.
To have a white people club.
You already do. It's a student union. It's primarily white. They have a black student union because you don't represent them well.
Why do you see the success of people of color as a threat to you?
You know that a 2-minute video about whiteness isn't reverse racism, right? 2 minutes about whiteness, hundreds of years of systemic oppression. Yeah, I think we can deal with this.
Why are we upset about immigrants when we were the first immigrants? And we were white people running away from other white people. That kind of shows you how bad white people can be.
Oh, that was cute, man. I saw DeRay tweet that on Twitter. I was like, oh, this is valid as fuck. Report 1,000 police officers have lost their badges for sexual misconduct. And in reality, of course, the problem's much bigger than that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, are you surprised, Karen?
Mm-mm.
Okay. The Associated Press has published a huge investigation into the sexual misconduct by police officers, revealing that from 2008 to 2014, 1,000 officers across the country were stripped of their badges and with them their certification to work as police in the state for sex-related misconduct. My question, I got a bunch of questions, but one of my questions would be, how many of these officers are working but just in a different state now?
Right.
More than half of the officers, 550, lost their certification due to sexual assault. Another 440 were decertified for other sexual misconduct, which range from possessing child pornography or sexting with underage civilians to having consensual sex on the job. What's more alarming is that there's no way the AP investigation uncovered all or even most of the sexual misconduct that police officers engaged with in over that period.
Nope.
There are a lot of steps between an officer engaging in misconduct and the officer losing his state certification. Each step presents an opportunity for fellow officers, the police department, prosecutors, or the certification board itself to protect an officer before he's forced to turn in his badge. And you know that's happening. You know that's happening.
Yeah, they telling them, y'all better leave. Y'all know they're investigating y'all.
Yeah, there's no way in hell that
going to other jurisdictions and all kinds, and they're gonna fuck up out of there.
Yeah, that's like, that's definitely a thing. Well,
if they're older, they were just retiring.
Yeah, that's definitely a thing that's happening. I say this as the trial against former Oklahoma City police officer Daniel Holtzclaw is actually starting today. You know, he's the guy who sexually assaulted 13 black women. Why this isn't the bigger, like, it's funny because the story, when you see it in the titles, they never mention that he targeted black women.
No.
It's just mentioned that he had sexual assault. He's accused of sexual assault. But, you know, and it's 13 women. But it's 13 black women.
Of course, because if they'd have been white women, this would have been the front fucking story. It'd have been in 45 font, and you wouldn't have
known. It would have never got to 13.
I know. Like, he assaulted a woman, and right. He's gonna go to jail forever.
Right. It's gonna be a trial already. Maybe he gets away with it. She's still a woman. And he's. I mean, we read that police report where the guy, they pretty much slut shamed that woman in Florida. And said, "Look at her. She took a picture on the hood of a car one day." So I mean, that's like saying. She this was her sexual fantasy to be assaulted by this police officer on the hood of a car. So, you know, even in that case, I'm not saying that it would be enough. You know, I do understand that there are levels to this shit.
Yeah.
But I do think the abuse of black women is gonna go underreported and underpunished, you know, if anything.
Right.
You know, 13, that's just the 13 who came forward.
Right. That's probably not include the hundreds, possibly thousands that just will never come out because they don't want to deal with
and
it.
And if I remember correctly, he got away with it mostly, and then one person came forward, and then these other 12 came forward afterwards. So there were, you know, he was getting away with this.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, anyway, but the AP isn't reporting that the 1,000 officers committed sexual misconduct between 2008 and 2014, only that 1,000 of them lost their badges over it. So there are two different questions. How often do police officers engage in misconduct? And when a police officer engages in misconduct, how often does he lose his badge over it? When misconduct by police officers makes it into the news, it's often related to sex. The AP cites a study of news articles about police misconduct by a professor at Bowling Green State University. It found that that sex-related cases were the third most common reason for officers to get arrested behind violence and profit-motivated crimes. A separate analysis of news articles conducted by David Packman by the National Police Misconduct Reporting Board in 2009 to 2010 found that sex-related misconduct was the second most likely reason for a police officer to make it into the news after excessive force. Which is extremely surprising because sexual assault is generally less likely to come to the attention of police than other crimes.
Yeah, because they don't take them seriously, regardless of who the victim is. They just don't take that shit seriously.
Yeah, it has the highest volume of unreported, you know, crime.
Because a lot of times it is hard to, it's hard, period, when you deal with police officers. But it's hard to have evidence and all that type of thing.
Yeah, obviously.
Unless that shit's on film and shit. Even then, you could probably rape somebody on camera and they would still justify it.
Yeah, and obviously people can hide it. You're working with police. And this is the thing that kills me, is people that understand how racism can be covered up by police departments. You need to understand how sexual assault obviously can be covered up by police departments as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you think that the same people that, you know, get away with killing Tamir Rice on camera aren't getting away with raping people?
Come on now.
You know, I mean, if you can imagine being black and all the things that that entails when dealing with the police, and then you should be able to imagine being a woman and all the things that must entail when dealing with police, because that is obviously, you know, scary as fuck. And then, and that's the thing too, like, even with race stuff, that's underreported, because how many people do you know, pretty much every black person you know, has at least one or two stories about the police pulling them over for something where they think, I think this is racially motivated.
Mm-hmm.
How many of them reported that to anyone?
Yeah.
How many got the officer's badge number? Mm-mm. How many got a lawyer? How many people went down to the station and reported them? Not very many.
Right. Because
so now imagine sexual assault.
Right. Because they make it such a fucking hassle to right. you. Like, it's not even goddamn worth it.
Right. So now imagine sexual assault, where I have to report my sexual assault to the people who are responsible for the training, the employment, and the future of the person who did it.
Mm-hmm.
The odds are I'm not going to press it. Now, the third thing I would say, imagine being a black woman, because those now, like, that race intersects, that sex, the gender intersects, the, you know, being a black trans individual, like, imagine being in this double quote unquote double minority group that has to deal with this. The numbers have to be astronomical, because
mm-hmm.
no one can be not very many people can be reporting this shit.
Oh no.
You know, like, it's pretty, like, I don't believe it's just 1,000 people.
Mm-mm.
And I also don't believe, I mean, look at military sexual assault, like, I also don't believe that, you know, the people are getting justice, I bet.
Nope.
In most of these cases, there has to be a ton of cases where nobody even lost shit.
No, you have tons and millions of rape kits across this country where they throw the fuckers out, they burn them, they misplace them, they don't know where they are, they're sitting 25, 30 years, they just sitting. So that goes to show you that when people are like, why don't you report it? Yeah, you can report it and the fucker still might sit for 50 years.
Right.
So what are we talking about here?
Right. So, yeah, it just made me think about that. And sadly, it's not shocking at all.
Mm-mm.
You know, police misconduct and abuse of people who are, you know, citizens. Nah, can't really say I'm surprised. Let's see. Oh, speaking of which, this is on the Daily Beast. And why is this not? Okay, there we go. Cops covered up trans woman's mysterious death. Philadelphia.
I believe this.
Something violent happened to Nizza Morris. Nizza or Nizza, I'm not sure. But between the time police picked her up and when she was found bleeding unconscious in the street, dispatch records show that Officer Elizabeth Scala responded to a 911 call from a bar in Philadelphia's neighborhood section of Center City, December 22nd, 2002. There she encountered Morris, a transgender woman who had been living as a female since the 1970s. Morris was well known and well liked in the area, where she performed in drag shows at a local bar. Morris was also well known to the police, having been arrested 53 times over her lifetime. A 911 caller reported a collapsed person in need of an ambulance, which was en route until Scala canceled it, the police department admitted. Scala and witnesses said Morris refused to go to the hospital. Then several bystanders helped falling down drunk Morris into Skeller's patrol car. Skeller later told police investigators that Morris asked her to go to 15th and Walnut Streets, about four blocks away from the bar and several miles from Morris's home in West Philly. Morris got out the car on her own strength, Skeller said, upright, refusing further assistance. Within minutes, a passing motorist almost ran over Morris, who was lying in the street, comatose and bleeding from a severe injury to her head. EMS took her to Thomas Jefferson Hospital, where she died on Christmas Eve, never regaining consciousness. Following Morris's death, police and prosecutors hid critical information about what happened. Cops misreported Morris's ride with Skeller in official logs. The homicide squad did not accept the medical examiner's determination that she had been killed, and the police department lost her homicide report for 8 years. Meanwhile, the district attorney's office refused to give police files to search the civilian oversight board reviewing Morris's case. When the DA finally turned over the files, it forced the board to sign a non-disclosure agreement that would keep what they found hidden forever.
What's the point of letting them see it then?
Niza Morris was a kind of a matron to younger transgender women in the community. Morris's friend Deja Alvarez told the Daily Beast. Alvarez says Morris used her 30 years of experience as an out trans woman to nurture and empower the younger generation around her. A lot of younger girls in the trans community, Niza was always so sweet to them. Police were not sweet to Morris, though. Her family was only notified of the tragedy after she died, with cops still referring to her as a man. He's dead, detectives told Morris's mother. He was later removed from the case for complaints of insensitivity. Morris had also been classified as John Doe while she died, though she should have been known to one of the officers on the scene because she had previously been arrested for prostitution. Officer Scala didn't report giving Morris a ride in her official log. Rosalind Wilkins, Morris's mother, said she did not even know her daughter was with the police until people from the Key West bar told her about it.
Wow.
The bar patrons also said Morris was far too drunk to have left Skylar's car on her own, which is supported by a hospital toxicology report that found her blood alcohol level to be more than three times that of the legal limit. Alvarez told the Daily Beast that Morris had been taking shots and was more drunk than usual. Morris was so drunk, Alvarez says, she brought her a plate of food and attempted to convince her to eat it before allowing her to drink more. Morris refused and continued to drink hard liquor. Officer Thomas Berry claimed he happened to the scene and was letting Morris out of her patrol car. Minutes later, Berry responded to a 911 call of Morris injured in the street and took charge of the scene upon arrival. Berry reportedly did not interview the man who almost ran over Morris, who had called 911 first. Berry placed a jacket over Morris's face as if she were dead and told dispatchers that the incident was a DK, which is a code for a drunk person. It took more than 30 minutes for EMS to take her to the hospital. Critical time lost for someone rendered unconscious from a head trauma. A witness later said he was struck by the lack of urgency from the cops and paramedics. Hospital records show the hospital staff contacted police after Morris was dropped off by the EMS because they believed Morris was an assault victim and not someone who had been in an accident. Hospital staff also requested Morris's name from police dispatch, which suggested she was dropped off unidentified. 911 transmissions indicate the officers manipulated events to keep the dispatcher from connecting the ride from Skylar, the officer, to the hospital call 12 minutes later, even feigning confusion over Morris's gender. In Thomas Jefferson's hospital, where Morris was being hooked up to life support, officers Barry and Skylar met with officer Kenneth Novak, who was assigned to investigate and had called the two cops to the hospital, where their officers appeared to have agreed upon a story to hide Skylar's ride that immediately preceded Morris's injury. Now, why would they be hiding that she was given this ride?
Something happened in that vehicle.
Something happened.
Somebody beat her, jumped her. They whooped the hell out of her. They did something to her between the time. But like this, for you to cancel the EMS ride and then take her to another location, put her body in the street,
mm-hmm.
cover her up, Y'all did something to her.
The officers indicated in their logs that no 911 target was at the Key West bar where the initial call was placed, but that Scala and Barry spotted a drunk person near Broad and Walnut. The logs also indicate that minutes later, Barry responded to the same drunk person at 16th and Walnut, where Morris was found unconscious. Detectives working the case said they were not informed of Morris's ride in Scala's police car until several days after Morris died, when the case began to be treated as a possible homicide. The police department's homicide unit did not initially accept assistant medical examiner Edwin Lieberman's finding that Morris's death was a homicide. Staff at the medical examiner's office told Morris's family that she appeared to have sustained defensive wounds to her hands and wrists. Nevertheless, the homicide unit requested consultation from a brain injury expert who agreed with the medical examiner's homicide finding.
Wow, so they tried to fight it and they was like, nah, doll, it's what they said. Yeah.
Remember, this all happened in 2002. It's 2015 now. In May 2003, Wilkins filed a complaint with the Police Advisory Commission for the lack of information provided to the family by the police department in the wake of her daughter's death. The commission is Philadelphia's independent oversight authority of police. It had already voted a month earlier as an issue of community concern to investigate Morris's death. Still, it did not hold hearings on Wilkins' complaint until December 2006. 3 years later, three and a half years later. While the commission slowly investigated, Wilkins filed a wrongful death suit against the city and the Key West bar, and settled it for $250,000 among other allegations. The lawsuit claimed Scala and other officers had deprived Morris of adequate and timely service because she was transgender, violating her constitutional rights to equal protection under the law. The suit also claimed that Morris could not have consented to the ride with Scala, which the officer was not authorized to provide, and that Scala should never have canceled the ambulance. Scala had denied Morris her Fourth Amendment protection from unreasonable seizure by effectively kidnapping her in a police car. Scala received a verbal reprimand for failure to follow procedure regarding intoxicated person hospital calls. No other officer was disciplined for the incident.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. November 2007, the advisory commission said that they completed their investigation. It was told by the police department that the opinion it had issued, which found officers had acted properly with the exception of Scala, and was based on incomplete files. During testimony in a 2007 lawsuit, the detective was forced to admit on the witness stand that the entire homicide report had been lost since 2003. The report was not found again until 2011 in the City Hall archives.
That bitch went lost.
Right. The commission voted to reopen the investigation in March 2008, subpoena records, and then fought with District Attorney Lynn Abraham until November for access to evidence. Even when the DA finally turned over some evidence, she did so on the condition that the commissioners sign a non-disclosure agreement, leaving them unable to issue any report or take any action based on the 2008 investigation. With a new commission led by current PAC Executive Director Kelvin Anderson voted to reopen the case in 2011, it refused to enter into a non-disclosure agreement with the new district attorney.
Right.
According to the commission, the non-disclosure agreement the 2008 Police Advisory Commission entered into with the DA undermines our effectiveness and credibility as a civilian oversight board and compromises the openness and transparency that is our raison d'etre. I don't know what that means. That's probably
a lawyer speech, probably Latin.
Yeah, that's either Latin or French.
Yeah,
I don't remember too many commas in Latin. Let me look this shit up real quick. I want to know what this means. Raison d'etre. Okay. Dietri. Okay. Anyway, the most important reason or purpose for someone or something's existence. So that's the whole reason we here, and y'all trying to keep it from being open with these non-disclosure agreements,
right? Because what's the point in the people knowing and then they can't share or anything like that? Because you fuckers got something to hide. That's why you're fighting so hard and you don't want it public.
So it's, you know, it was completely mismanaged, completely covered up and hidden. Just, you know, like, of course, trans woman of color. You know, 2002, it's 2015, you're still looking for justice, still looking to find out what happened. I mean, yeah, they're openly just hiding the shit, you know, like,
right, nobody's holding them accountable, nobody's demanding, nobody's putting pressure, because just overall in general, society does not care about brown people, and they definitely don't care about women.
Yeah. So they're still waiting to get some level of justice and solve the mystery to her, you know, this woman's death.
Right. And when you have instances like this with LGBTQ, with people's, you know, fathers, brothers, sons, daughters getting murdered in the street, and every case is not going to be a Trayvon Martin. Every case isn't going to be these big huge cases. It's going to go on social media. There are a lot of cases that never see the light of day, and these people have to fight, and these people have to wait for years to pass, and some people die in the family and they never get justice. So when the things like Black Lives Matter come forth, these people are angry, because these people are like, yes, they do. I've been waiting a very, very long time for justice, and my justice never came for my family member. So I'm going to be sure that justice is here for somebody else, since if I'm not going to be able to get it, somebody will.
Speaking of justice, remember that shootout at that Waco, Texas bar, Twin Peaks, with the bikers that had 9 people left dead, 20 injured, and 192 people arrested?
Yeah, where they sat out and talked and tapped on their phones and chilled and shit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in the aftermath, the restaurant is permanently closed. Lawsuits have been filed, and another Texas outpost is shuttered following possible foul play. Well, now video footage of the incident has surfaced.
Okay.
The footage from the restaurant security camera shows a patio full of what appear to be motorcycle gang members. After everyone begins to take notice of something happening out of frame, all hell breaks loose. Customers and staff run in all directions, duck for cover, shots are fired, and finally a group of arrested individuals is marched through the restaurant. Fortunately, the video doesn't show any gore. At the time of the shootout, which included as many as 5 biker gangs, Waco Police Sergeant Patrick Swanton said the fight progressed very rapidly, and he was amazed that no innocent civilians were injured or killed. Many civilians and employees took cover in the restaurant's freezer to avoid the shootout. See the security footage below. Well, the other thing is that nobody went to jail for this.
Right, nobody.
So, you know, this big ass shootout, 100 and something people get arrested, everybody's free today.
Nobody. No, you got fucking video and nobody's on. Nobody down. Nobody.
Nobody. Keith Sweat would be proud.
He sure would, but you'd have let that been a bunch of brown people in there. You're having a goddamn shootout. Everybody, you'd have been arrested and your ass wouldn't have been there. They'd have arrested you anyway.
Fetty Wap had an arrest warrant issued for him.
Uh-oh.
Today. Yep. Y'all didn't care when I was talking about Bobby.
What Fetty Wap did? What happened?
Well, according to this, investigators want to speak to Willie Maxwell II after a video service of him threatening to fuck up and shoot the mother of his daughter.
Oh.
According to Hollywood Life, the paperwork will be filed on November 2nd and supposedly valid by the end of the day. He is a rapper and songwriter from Paterson, New Jersey. He's best known for his 2014 hit single, Trap Queen, which was a sleeper hit that peaked at number 2 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100 in May 2015, followed by the top 10 singles 679 and My Way. He signed with 300 Entertainment in 2014 and released his self-titled debut studio album in September 2015. He was also chosen as part of XXL Magazine's 2015 freshman class. Warning video contains strong language.
You can't walk. Right. Fight for what? Fight for what? Who the fuck cares? I don't fucking know you.
Just like I found you, I'm gonna find you again. I'm gonna fuck you up, my nigga.
Fuck me up then. Fuck me up now. Fuck me up now. Fuck me up now. You doing that to say fucking what?
You the fucking bum. Look at you.
Look at me. Let me be a fucking bum. I wasn't a bum when you was eating my pussy. Fuck out of here. Goodbye. Bye. Good. What the fuck were you? What the fuck were you? What the fuck were you?
Man, it's crazy that, I mean, people have a kid together and shit can still get this crazy.
Yeah, like, and it's the saddest, I guess the most saddest and heartbreaking part of all this, people think this shit is normal. A lot of people think this shit is normal. You call people out, you embarrass them, be it with video on social media, you know, you just do all this degrading stuff to both parties, you know what I'm saying, like calling him out, calling her out, whoever the other party is. But I don't know, I don't function like that. Like for me, I would just leave you the fuck alone and go by my way. We're not gonna have no public spat, you know. I don't have to prove my womanhood. You don't have to prove your manhood, quote unquote, in public settings. But like I said, that's just how I function. But yeah, a lot of people think this shit right here, if you ain't doing this, you ain't loving. And that's not love, baby. I'm sorry to tell you, that's not love.
Yeah, I hope that's not a lot of people that think that.
It is, because you see men and women fuss and fight like this all the time. World Star Hip Hop is full of all that bullshit right there.
Yeah.
You fucking pussy ass nigga, what the fuck were you? You fucking bitch. You was a bitch. You running from niggas out here.
I think she got a knife in her hand.
Running from niggas out here. You got the nerve.
She definitely has a knife in her hand.
Mm-hmm. You come over there, she gonna have something for his ass. You need to pull up on me? Get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here. Shut your fat ass up. Shut your fat ass up.
She's just saying anything she can to hurt his feelings at this point.
Right, and
they both just trying to hurt each other's feelings, and they got a kid.
Right, and that's the part. A lot of times when people are heartbroken or disappointed or upset, people they take these personal attacks at each other, and all it does is cause more strife. But like I say, for a lot of people, this is normal. Like this right here, this dysfunctional, like, because this is dysfunctional in my mind. But a lot of people think this is normal. A lot of people see their parents do this. They see their grandparents do this. They see people around them do this. They have friends and family. They constantly do this because people got to think this is normal in order for this behavior to just happen like this. And it don't got nothing to do with black people. Just period. People just think this type of, oh, you call me out, I'm going to call you out. You hurt my feelings. You say I'm a fat bitch, I'm going to say your dick small. You know, just constantly going at each other. Like, but people call that love, and it's not love.
Yeah, I don't even know that they call that love though, because they not together. Like, they, you know what I mean? A lot of people will tell you, like, I hate my baby mom. I hate, you know, this. I don't think people are even thinking on that level, like, this a good relationship. I think they think this is fucked up. You know what I mean? I don't think they aren't together. You know what I'm saying? Like, which is, I don't know. Yeah. It's just wild to me.
Yeah, but a lot of people make up and break up like this.
That's true, but we don't know that about them.
Right, that's true. No, I'm not saying this about them in particular, but yeah.
You know, I don't know, man. People, this is wild.
Go on. Go on. Go on about your business. Go on.
It's funny because the Twitter is follow at so-and-so on Twitter and Instagram. Like, whoever got a hold of this.
Go on about your business. Nah, I'm going to get my follow account up. Do you. I'm going. I'll be there next Thursday. Shoot it up like you just said.
Shoot it up like you just said. Ain't she?
Shoot it up like you just
said. She banging her knife on something. And I guess he threatened to shoot her up or shoot up a club she's going to be at. Man. I mean, sometimes you forget how young these people are and shit too.
Right.
Like,
probably just, in their 20s.
Because it's just stupid on every fucking level for him specifically. Because you got caught on camera threatening somebody. Second thing is, I'm glad they're treating it serious.
Me too.
I'm glad they're treating it serious, because when you say something like this, even if it's in anger, one of y'all got a knife, the other one talking about killing somebody, fucking them up, shooting up somewhere. The last thing you want to do is wait till after some shit is shot up and then be like, oh, well, looks like Fetty Wap was serious.
Yeah, that's one thing I can't say about having you in my life, because a lot of people, you know, take for granted their normal, quote unquote, boring ass normal relationships, you know, that come home, ain't got to worry about you, we're faithful, we take care of the kids, or whatever type of relationship that you have. A lot of people take those relationships and take their happiness with their mate and, you know, for granted. And it's just one of those things where I look at that and, yeah, when people are young in their 20s, people do a lot of dumb shit in their 20s. But as you get older, well, hopefully as you get older, you grow out of, quote unquote, out of that, and you mature past that point.
Wow.
I hope you do, sweetie.
Texas authorities raid multiple Planned Parenthood locations seeking patient records. After canceling all Medicaid contracts with Planned Parenthood affiliates this past Monday, Texas authorities have now raided Planned Parenthood locations in San Antonio, Houston, and Dallas. Investigators are apparently looking for any documents or records related to patients who have donated fetal tissue at any point in the past 5 years.
Bitch, what are you gonna charge me with a goddamn crime?
According to Planned Parenthood, the State Health and Human Services Commission is looking for everything from patient and billing records to personnel information. In a statement to Mother Jones, CEO of Planned Parenthood of Greater Texas wrote that the organization will make every effort to comply with the state's request, but see this as an excuse to take the health care away from thousands of women and men who rely on Planned Parenthood for preventative care.
Yeah, and all that shit sound illegal. They can't just turn shit over just because you say so.
Yeah, I don't know what the rule is.
They got HIPAA law shit. Shit, your mate can't even find out shit about you without you giving consent. So what the fuck you think you gonna roll up in there time I give me some fucking papers? Who are you?
Definitely doesn't seem right.
It's not.
The move to defund and, if the state has its way, ultimately shut down Planned Parenthood clinics across Texas comes as Texas Governor Greg Abbott continues a mission spurred by the falsified Planned Parenthood videos that continue to be debunked time and time again.
And you know what? And I don't know if they can legally do that. I sue the fuck out of them. You rolling up in my office. Why do you want this information? What are you going to do? You're going to shame these women, attack these women, put these women personal. Why do you want this information? This is private.
Yeah, it's also to scare women from coming in. Like, women that need those services, now they're like, I don't know. Because what if someone gets my personal information?
Right, because I'm telling you right now, if you roll up in any hospital and demand this shit, they get you the fuck up out of there, and they will sue the hell out of you if you went to a hospital and just like, well, just give me all your patients' private information.
Yep. Two female jail employees allegedly had sex with inmates during head count. Yeah, I think you mean rape.
Yep.
Anytime it's women doing something to men sexually, it, like, even with the textbook definition of using your power, whatever, the assumption is, well, that's it can't be a rape. They just had some sex.
No. Oh, yeah. You rape these dudes, yeah. It doesn't care. You're in the position of authority. Right. And a lot of times
when you... Oh, wait. They got their pictures in here? We could use this for guest rights.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to save this. But, yeah, it's still rape.
Yes, sir.
You can't just be like,
I'm the person in authority, have sex with me.
Yeah. Oh no, it's not right because they women. Like, that's so fucked up, man. We do this all the time, by the way. All right, so we'll use that one later for something else. Let's see what else happened. A former St. Louis prosecutor admits to covering up police beating of a handcuffed man. Yep. Love to say I'm shocked, but I'm not.
What are real handcuffs, BDSM handcuffs, you know, where they trying to get sexual with it?
Well, knowing the cops, you can't keep
it. Well, I'm on my back there, yeah.
Who knows? We just started the show with that. Who knows how many men were victims as well?
Of course.
Because you know they ain't never going to tell.
Oh, no, that pride.
Bliss Barber Ward was assistant circuit attorney for the city of St. Louis in July of last year when a veteran officer with whom she had a close friendship reportedly beat a man that was arrested for allegedly fraudulently using the credit card of the police officer's daughter. The beating was severe enough that the officer injured his own foot and may have chipped one of the suspect's teeth by shoving his handgun down the throat of the handcuffed victim. In the plea, Worrell says that she did not intend to bring any charges against the suspect in the incident, but that she was present when the arresting officer showed up at the warrant office and decided to help a new prosecutor file charges against the suspect. The report from the arresting officer did not match what she had heard from the veteran officer, but she failed to tell her supervisors that she knew about the incident and filed charges against the suspect anyway for receiving stolen property, for fraudulent use of credit card, and for allegedly attempting to escape while resisting arrest. Well, if someone's beating my ass, I might attempt to escape. You know, I might not want to be there when they violate my rights.
Yeah, everything is resisting arrest.
The veteran officer isn't named in the plea, but a St. Louis Dispatch post-dispatch report notes similarities between the details in the plea and the circumstances of Worrell's resignation from her position in the circuit attorney's office when Officer Tom Carroll was accused of assaulting 41-year-old Michael Weller after Weller allegedly stole and fraudulently used Carroll's daughter's credit card. So that's him. Come on. Worrell's plea explains that she was told by the veteran officer that other officers had participated in the beating, including the shift commander on duty that night. The veteran officer also offered up a particularly cruel detail that everyone was laughing at the suspect who was screaming for help because he was brought into the police station, likely because the suspect was told during the transport that he was going to get beaten. Tammy Dickinson, U.S. Attorney for the Western District of Missouri, is prosecuting the case and has indicated that the investigation is ongoing and extends beyond the defendant's role in covering up an egregious civil rights violation. Yep. So, you know, sometimes you gotta beat a suspect because, you know, it's your daughter's card. So, you know, gotta get out there and start abusing people. Let's see what else happened. That vegetarian hot dog that you love, it might have some meat in it.
What's a vegetarian hot dog? What is it made out of?
Vegetables?
That's my assumption, vegetables.
DNA testing of mass market hot dog reveals that in many ways they're just as mysterious and kind of gross as you always thought. A food analytics company in the Bay Area called Clear Labs is aiming to shake up the food manufacturing industry using genetic testing. Its technology could eliminate food-related illnesses, outbreaks as we know them, but there are plenty more applications too. The company just released the first in a series of reports called Clear Food that are intended to guide consumers toward more informed grocery shopping decisions by analyzing how closely the actual content of a food matches what the label claims. For its first report focusing on hot dogs and sausages, Clear Labs analyzed 345 samples from the 75 different brands and found somewhat disturbingly that 14.4% were problematic in some way. A major problem was hot dogs that included meats not listed in the label. 3% samples contained undisclosed pork. 10% of supposed vegetarian hot dogs actually contained meat. Clear Food also found that some companies majorly exaggerated the amount of protein in their hot dogs by up to 250%.
I believe that because it's just one of those things where, you know, because there are certain rules and regulations, but hey, if it's under a certain percent, you don't even have to claim it regardless. Yeah. So technically, it's all a marketing ploy and you're lying to consumers. But yeah, because, you know, healthy, quote unquote, healthy shit sells, and sometimes healthy shit ain't always healthy.
There were also some hygienic issues identified too. Human DNA was found in 2% of the hot dogs.
I believe that too.
Probably sperm.
Dang.
The Clear Food stops short of identifying which companies manufactured the problem hot dogs, but it does not recommend which hot dogs to buy, but it does recommend which ones to buy. Classic Oscar Mayer Beef Franks nabbed the top spot, followed closely by Ballpark and Hebrew National. For those who want or need to avoid eating pork, stick to kosher brands and avoid chicken sausages. Vegetarians are advised that Trader Joe's is safe. It's also possible to read between the lines to figure out which brands may have issues.
Right, because they gave you the top brands.
Major manufacturer Nathan's and Vienna Beef are both notably absent.
Of course.
And they just launched a Kickstarter campaign to fund research and is letting funders decide what the company will analyze next. Possibilities include burgers, coffee, wine, sushi, and gluten-free products.
Yeah, I'm just under the assumption that everything you eat gonna kill you, so like no matter what you eat, it eventually somebody gonna find something wrong with it that's gonna kill you, so
makes sense.
I mean, because they'll tell you it's good, then they'll come back, it's gluten-free, oh no, wait a minute, it got gluten in it, you know, this is sugar-free, oh wait a minute, it got 10 pounds of sugar. I don't know what the fuck.
SunTrust Bank, market value $21 billion, is currently laying off full-time IT workers and outsourcing their jobs overseas. The bank does require them though to stay on call for 2 years for free.
Why?
The bank severance deal includes a continuing cooperation clause for a period of 2 years where the employee agrees to make myself reasonably available to SunTrust regarding matters in which I have been involved in the course of my employment with SunTrust and or which I have knowledge as a result of my employment at SunTrust. They asked to sign an agreement in which they promise to, in essence, be on-call consultants for 2 years. Such assistance may include, but is not limited to, telephone or in-person meetings with SunTrust employees, attorneys, and or accountants. I understand that I will not be entitled to any additional consideration or compensation for any kind from SunTrust in exchange for such assistance.
She can kiss my ass.
Yeah, I always thought.
You can kiss my whole ass for that. I'm not working for fucking free.
I always thought that the.
How's this legal?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Okay. I always thought that. It was odd in all the severance things that I signed. Many companies had this clause where, not just this thing, because I never had this, but they had this thing where, like, you can't come back.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they will never employ you again. Even if you were fired without cause, even if you were let go because of major layoff, they will never employ you again. And this happened at two companies I've been at, and I don't understand what the point is with that. So you don't want someone who already has a knowledge base of all your systems and stuff, especially if you're laying them off without cause because whatever reasons, budgets went down, whatever. So maybe the budget gets better one day. Maybe you start making a profit. Maybe you need people to bring in people to help and you don't want to have to retrain them to get them to learn all kinds of concepts over again. Why would you even put that in the wording of a severance agreement or in the unofficial policy of a company that we don't hire people back? Other than to put fear in the employees that are currently there.
True.
You know, like, I just want to scare the shit out of y'all so that every day you think about the idea that if you do get fired, you'll never be able to come back here. And that's the only thing it really felt like it was used for, is a cudgel to, like, scare you away from leaving the company on your own, because then they still, you know, didn't want to necessarily take you back, and then from being fired. You know, it's just it's like a one way street, and it doesn't make any fucking sense to me, but
all right, because
maybe I'm not thinking of something.
A lot of companies, but like I said, I'm just to the conclusion that with the exception of a handful, most corporations don't care about you. And I think that I don't know if it's for their best interest. I'm pretty sure, like, they go, well, if we let you go, we don't want to, I don't know. Cause to me, like you say, like as a business, it's not profitable for you to waste the money in retraining.
Yeah. I don't know. It's such a weird thing.
Policy. But yeah, I'm not working for free. For free for cone call for 2 years? Shit, you can keep that.
All right. I got to pee real quick, Karen. Okay. I'm going to play some music for everybody.
Go ahead.
Drain the weasel.
You used to call me on my. You used to. Yeah. You used to call me on my cell phone.
Hey!
Late night when you need my love.
Cell phone song.
Call me on my cell phone.
Yes.
Late night when you need my love. And I know when
that hotline blinks. Hey!
You only mean one thing.
You shouldn't have left me alone, y'all.
I know when that hotline blinks. That can only mean one thing. Ever since I left the city, you got a reputation for yourself.
Bring your light skin back, Drake.
Everybody knows and I feel left out. Girl, you got me down, you got me stressed out. Cause ever since I left the city, you started wearing less and going out more. Glasses of champagne out on the dance floor. Hanging with some girls I never seen before. You used to call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my love. Call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my love. And I know when that hotline blinks. That can only mean one thing. Ever since I left the city,
All right.
Yeah, okay. I love that song. I call it a cell phone song.
Yeah, this hotline bling. Let's do some fucking with black people. as if that's not what we've been doing the whole time.
Right, I'm about to say, come on, Nessa.
All right, so we skip it for the night?
Yes, I've been fucked with the whole show, yes.
Okay, all right. Sorry, guys.
No, I'm sorry,
fucking,
yeah.
I know you tune in for fucking with black people, but I'm sorry.
Everybody got 100 since we started the show.
So we'll just go to Ball Alert then?
Yes, please.
Yeah. Yeah. Yo, I'm looking for a five-star view to talk about. Fly, and a jukebox whip, and a head something fire. Got it, here go 12 bar. Gucci man got 9 car. We don't call them 9 no more. Oh, now we call them 5 star. 5 star nigga, that's a 5 star click. That's the 645. That's that new M6. Pay your bills, get a hair fix, might even pay your rent. And the way she give it to me, best money I ever spent. I can't even lie, I'm so super high. Do not need her, will not keep her unless she is fly. Gucci man's a thubby, your girl is a scrub. See, she love me, now she love you not. Now all my bitches love me. If she in Atlanta, call her Gucci, then they geek me. You can find a 5 star hotel, you can meet me. 5 star, and that's a 5 star, and that's a 5 star, and that's a 5 star. If your credit go high, keep your nails stay fly, keep your juice box wet, and your head something fire, you a 5 star, and you a 5 star, and you a 5 star.
All right.
Here are your choices for the chat room. Number one, 10 places you aren't looking for a man, but you should be. Blogged by at Proudly Lauren. Number two, groupie tales Will Gay of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Number three, ballerific relationships. Is your man on the down low? Number four, groupie tales. The game picks his groupies up at the Louis Vuitton store. And we'll just go with those four. You guys pick them out.
Five star, bitch, you a 5 star,
I need a 5 star,
bitch, I need a
5 star,
bitch,
I need a 5 star,
bitch.
It's your boy, yo, Gotti, I do grade A shit, I'm the realest nigga walking, and it's the remix, and still out here looking for a 5 star chick. When I catch her, I'ma bless her with a 5 star kick. She a natural born hustler, she ain't chasing no suckers, only mess with real niggas, she never fuck the buster.
Like three to win.
Number three. Alright, what was three? Was it ballerific relationships, your man on download thing? Was that it? Or was it Will Gay at the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I think that's Pittsburgh Steelers one.
Alright, maybe I got my numbers confused. God damn it. Sorry, y'all. I don't remember what number it was. Let's just go with Will Gay at the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, somebody said yes to download.
Oh, it's the download. Okay, all right, cool. All right, yeah, damn. I was looking at these numbers like, what did I skip?
Okay, yeah, okay, so we got the right one, y'all. All right,
here we go. Ballerific relationships. This is where they give advice for y'all in these ballerific relationships. This is posted by Lauren Flanagan. Very pretty in her avatar picture, whoever this lady is. Ballerific relationships. Is your man on the download? Oh, it's blogged by at Proudly Lauren is her name. So I was trying to put a picture in the chat so y'all can see. She's a very pretty woman, but you know, makes you wonder why she got all this relationship advice. She got some problems, you know what I'm saying? Well, I don't know.
You know, you be around a lot. You began to pick up on certain traits.
Yeah. We'll have to tell her on Twitter, like, what's up with this advice, man? Everything all right at home? All right, so the post is ballerific relationships is your man on the download, blah blah, at Proudly Lauren. After watching Miles tell Amber he was gay last night on Love and Hip Hop Hollywood. Oh. Hey, you know what?
Love and Flip Flop. Shout out to Mustard T.
We find our inspiration where we get it. Sometimes it's on Lust and Drip Drop, and sometimes it's not. I couldn't fathom the pain and the shock that she felt. Imagining the love of my life, someone I have mapped an entire future with, reveal that he's had secret feelings for someone else is devastating. It seemed to be even more troubling for Amber to deal with the fact that people in their past had accused him of being gay before, shouting, "Everyone was right," shortly after he told her, and not long before she ran outside and collapsed. So to avoid your very own VH1 style sidewalk meltdown,
She trying to help you.
She don't want you to be out there calling for your mama. I present to you some of the signs to look for if you suspect your boyfriend, lover, or friend may be interested in the same sex. Number one, birds of a feather flock together. Let's be honest, our closest friends are close to us because of the things we share in common. Similar styles, same political beliefs, same religious beliefs, etc. I'm not saying best friends are exactly alike. However, if your man begins seeking solace and becomes close to another gay man, it may be because they have sexuality in common. So, I mean, well, if it's another gay man, then that's two gay men, right? I mean,
yes, it is.
Is that really your man? Is that your dick? Why are you looking in his eyes? I'm fine. wondering, if your man is gay, he has a natural attraction to other men, no matter how hard he tries to suppress it. He likes what he likes. You know how straight men are helplessly hypnotized by any girl with a nice ass when she walks past? See if you catch him ignoring the women in the room, only to catch a glimpse of the same men you're sneaking to check out. So if y'all both
looking in the same direction.
Yeah. Online courage. We all know the internet gives people an extra confidence boost, so check his online behavior, as he may feel more comfortable expressing his sexuality there. There are actually a lot of social media apps created as a safe haven specifically for the LGBTQ community. If you find that he's a member of those sites, obviously red flag. Instagram and Twitter can even serve as flags. Look at who he follows and fill his timeline up with. Pay attention to the pictures he's liking or tweets he's favoriting. Oh man. Well, me and Reggie was talking about people not having no clothes on in the locker room today. Oh no, am I gay? Am I gonna die? Oh no. It finally happened, y'all.
I need to file for a divorce.
I got it. I got the gay.
Well, then me and you be looking in the same direction as with women with big asses and titties.
Nobody ever asked that question.
Right.
Everybody too busy trying to get this threesome happening. Stranger danger. Ladies, think about how cool a guy is with introducing you to his female friends that are just friends, and how uncomfortable he is when you meet a female that he had anything more than a friendship with. If your man acts that way about his guy friends, doesn't want you to meet him, keeps you at a distance, make sure all you don't have conversations, etc., there may be something going on. So it's like if I was like, I don't want you to meet Justin Karen, okay? That's just for me.
Oh, Lord. Might
be on the down low.
Yeah, we need to have a conversation.
Admire from afar. Whenever there's a big cookout, he avoids men shooting dice or playing basketball. He gravitates either towards you or only the people he knows. Ultimately, anytime there's a social setting with you around, he doesn't shake hands, socialize, and meet new people, but instead sticks by your side or other people he knows very well.
A lot of people.
So he's an introvert?
Right. If I say that's what a lot of people did. I'm gay!
No!
I guess you are.
Oh, I guess it's true. I'm always the last to know. Who would have known I wanted dick this bad?
Oh, that's why you didn't know that Lady at Verizon was hitting on you.
I don't like talking to people. So I'm gay.
Oh, like somebody said, what happened if you were a shy person?
You gay? That's what you gay. What happened if you a shy person? You a shy gay man. That's what it is. Can't y'all see? Examples like these may signify that he is uncomfortable around groups of heterosexual men. This could be because he doesn't want his girlfriend to observe any attraction that there may be there, or maybe being around fine men makes him sweat just like us women. Maybe, whatever the reason, he stays far away. Now, by no means is this a surefire way to tell if your man is secretly homosexual, and I don't advise you start surveying all of his friends on their sexuality. However, if you have noticed any of the before mentioned signs, and have a genuine concern, I challenge you to sit your man down and have a conversation. Understand? Just like for Miles, the revealing process may not be that easy. So try and be as comforting and supportive as possible. If you all have any other tips or advice on how to tell if your man is on the down low, please share. If you are a member of the LGBTQ community looking for someone to talk to or support in coming out, there are plenty of places out there, but the national hotline is free. 1-888-843-4564. Free. Carlos says, you may have taken a sociology class, which he did not spell right.
I guess he gets a little red squiggly line.
Oh man, that was petty. I'm sorry. I had to let y'all know that. You may not have taken a sociology class because you are very good. Wait, you must have taken a sociology class because you are very good at putting people in categories. Sex is supposed to be a private issue, but people want it to be public, I guess. I had a gay roommate once, and he used to always criticize the women he walked in on me with. He would say they are only using me for my body. LOL, sexuality is never a secret. Everyone knows based on mannerisms, concerns, or interests, it's all telltale signs. Terrell Jones says, gay people want everybody to be gay. Why is it black men always have to come out to the public? I don't care if you're gay, just keep it to yourself. Michael Sam fucked himself over by coming out. Now look at his loose booty ass struggling, trying to find a team. Also, stop equating the gay struggle to the black struggle, because nobody in the history of earth will kill for knowing or learning how to read except blacks. When black people tried to start their own community and wealth system, they bombed it. Oklahoma City, Black Wall Street. The first and only time the United States bombed their own soil. Liv Sanchez says, is it just me or it seems that the two down low brothers were the only ones who commented on this blog?
Oh, shit. Shots fired.
Shots fired, Liz. Liz coming out for blood. And she says, David Ad? Question. Carlos says, at Liz, there's no such thing as down low in 2015. Gay people get TV shows and tweets from Obama. There's no reason to hide.
He ain't denying it.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to add a comment to this. I'm gonna say at Liv Carlos and Terrell always do be posting right after each other saying the same damn things. Maybe this is flirting and their girls need to keep an eye on each other, on them. There we go. I'm just send that on in. Hey man, ain't no fun if I can't get in on it. Let's go ahead and play them out. She was born in the 8th with the school of D.C. Got a job in Dallas, Texas, but she moved to Tennessee. If you ain't a five-star shorty, go ahead and fake the skate. Gucci fake, Louis shorty, that'll make your basic. It ain't a five-star, it ain't a five-star, it ain't a five-star, it ain't a five-star. And I'm a five-star bitch, cause I ain't that other bitch. She be struggling for hers from the womb, I be rich. I ain't gotta talk about the money and the shoot game. All you gotta do is Google Trina, see the proof, man. Ain't none of these hoes doing shows in a recession. Their cars get declined, now they suffering a depression. Why you spending meals, signing all kinds of deals? I'm a five-star bitch, eating five-star meals. My whole lifestyle like coming to America. All my Louis luggage, see my bag, how I carry her. Walking through the airport like I'm in a parade on my hologram. Logging on the E-Trade. It's a five star. It's a five star. It's a five star. Get your credits go high. Keep your nails stay fly. Keep your juice box wet. And your head something fire. You a five star. And you a five star. And you a five star. And you a five star. I need a five star. I'm on a five star. I need a five star. I want a five star. I just had an epiphany, I need to go to Tiffany. Bentley's on my sneakers, and my sneakers always slippery. I don't think if I need the bills on time, or I be yelling fucking for the billboard sign. Run, little mama, you a three-star. I ain't sleeping when I say I'm in my dream car. Did I stutter? How do you do hyphen? Barbie, I'm hot, I think it's time to put the rice in. When I was in the club, they was doing the weaving. When you was on the stage, they was booing and leaving. No more auditions. That's faster. Who the five-star bitches?
All right.
Now that it's time for some guest a race. That's right, it's guest a race time. Now that it's time for some guest a race. That's right, it's guest of race time. Ba-da-bum. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today in the chat room to guess the race. And the chat room is racist. All right, number one. Let's see if we can wait, is this even the right video? Anyway, a woman snuck into the zoo and got bitten by a tiger.
Ah!
A tiger bit a drunk woman who snuck into Omaha Henry Dorley Zoo early Sunday morning. I guess breakfast was on the table. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Come on, y'all. I know y'all know what I'm talking about. Jacqueline Eid, 33.
You know what? Did the tiger look at his wife and be like, Barbara, I didn't know you ordered breakfast to go. Well, well, no, breakfast delivery. Shit, you ordered delivery.
I know. Is this the journal?
Right.
Jacqueline E, 33, was hospitalized with a severe injury to her hand and may lose part of her fingers.
Shit.
Mm-hmm. That Justin Pierre Paul. Eid was aggressive toward staff at the zoo and showed signs of intoxication by drugs or alcohol. Police say she somehow got around the zoo's fence and security at 7:20 a.m. and was attacked when she tried to pet the tiger. She was cited with criminal trespass. She served prison time for her third DUI in 2011 and was arrested twice in Omaha.
Shit.
So far this year. Her criminal record includes drunk driving, graffiti, disturbing the peace, obstruction of justice, and shoplifting. The 18-year-old three-legged Malayan tiger, oh, it has three legs, is believed to be the animal involved in the attack. Zoo executive director, CEO Dennis Pate, released the following statement. The safety and security of our guests and animals are always a priority in Omaha's Henry Dorley Zoo and Aquarium. Emergency phone numbers are printed on maps for guests to call in case of an emergency, and security staff keep watch on grounds around the clock. We had added security cameras, new path lighting, and computer control locks to track exit and entry. Additional path lighting is planned for the new African grasslands exhibit, and more cameras will be installed to monitor the grounds and gates. We will continue to keep security a top priority for zoo guests and animals. All right, guess the race, Miss Jacqueline Eid, chat room. Let's see. The boxers behind have been plowed on a regular basis. He had to tell the truth. What? Reese, this is not, oh, walked away from biker gang shootout with no charges. White cat lady, white girl wasted, the daughter of the dentist who took out Cecil White.
Aww.
White, in the history of zoo animal accidents, none have ever involved black women. White. Tiger wanna crack her. White.
Aww.
White. Oh man. Well, all I can say about these racist guesses in the chat, they're great. They're all white. Yeah, she was white.
Yeah, Tiger only wanted his meat rare.
Mm-hmm. I bet when she came in there, he heard this.
Yep. I love that song.
Hand of the tiger, it's the thrill of the fight. Let's see, a report. A man who they believe to have been mugged was found in a ditch alive, and he did not get mugged. Okay. Apparently, he was the victim of stupidity as he had tried to catch a train, literally.
With his bare hands?
By jumping on it.
Oh.
While it was moving.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. He, let's see. 1 week ago, he was found badly bruised. But what happened to the night a Georgia Tech student went missing after an off-campus party? That's the question many have been raising 1 week after James Hubert was found alive. CBS 46 investigative reporter Karen Greer has uncovered disturbing new details about the student's disappearance. Hubert, a 24-year-old aerospace engineering student, mysteriously disappeared after attending a sorority party at the Foundry at Puritan Mill on October 16th. He was an aerospace engineer. He was like, I'm going to see if I'm aerodynamic.
Yes.
Apparently not as aerodynamic as this train.
Apparently not.
After a frantic search by friends and family using cell phone tracking technology, Hubert was found 2 days later about 4 miles away, bloodied and face down in a ditch in DeKalb and Arizona Avenue. His family insisted he was on the MARTA train that night. He got mugged. He left the party. We think he said somebody mugged him. They ripped all his clothes and his wallet and watch and phone out, left him dead, left him for dead.
So he was on the ground for 2 days.
That's what they said when they found him. That's what they thought.
But
a source told CBS 46, Hubert, whose nickname is reportedly 007, jumped off a bridge. Like James Bond in the opening scene of Skyfall, onto a moving train believed to be a CSX train. Apparently, the entire incident was captured on surveillance video, which is now in the hands of police. He was found on the CSX side of the tracks. His shoes were placed next to his body. CSX officials have not commented on this new information, and Atlanta police aren't saying much either. Tell us the investigation is ongoing. They learned family members reportedly met with police Monday near the night to hear about the obviously upsetting new developments. Posts suggesting Hubert was beaten and battered have been removed from his mother's Facebook page. She has not returned the calls for comment.
Oh, I know she is livid. Is that his boy got me looking like a fool?
His father released the following statement. We don't have a full story yet about Jimmy's activities and whereabouts during the 55 hours that he was missing. It appears that he somehow got aboard a moving freight train. How he did this is unclear. What happened between this time on the train and the time he was found remains a mystery. Did he do something reckless? It appears he did. Was there a robbery? Police are still investigating that. To our family, the story hasn't changed. Jimmy is alive today because of a great group of friends who are committed to finding him. We will forever be grateful for that. Our priority is to focus on Jimmy's health. And he gets stronger every day. He is also remembering more each day, and we're fully cooperating with the ongoing police investigation.
Don't you mean his GPS and his phone will help y'all found him?
What do you mean?
Because y'all wouldn't have found him otherwise.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. Just
with that Find My iPhone app, somebody was able to log on, but like, I think he over here, y'all.
I know. Motherfucker jumped off the
moving fucking train.
All right. I'm gonna do it!
Ha ha!
Here it comes!
Watch me, guys!
Alright, guess the race chat room.
I know his parents like all that money I spent on your education and this the shit you do?
Frat bro White, his name is Jimmy, White Jimmy. Well, there's a lot of black Jimmys. Jimi Hendrix, Jimmy from, JJ from Good Times. Doesn't believe Idris Elba should play him in the movie. Super White turned up on that Molly White, impossible white man. White as the driven snow, faster than a locomotive. Nope, just one sad white boy. As white as the dude bros that lost their job last year. First blamed it on the black guy. White, correct answer. Oh wait, what was the last one? Hold on.
Paps blue
ribbon black. All right, I mean white. Sorry. Anyway, y'all all got it right. He was actually white. Man, what if he would have been black though? That would have been awesome. But been the first black, and then it would have been like, see, this is why black people can't be James Bond.
Right, yeah, they're trying to kill themselves.
His nickname was 007. Don't believe the hype, brother.
Right, you do know they're on the set, right?
I'm gonna fucking do it, man. Church.
You do know he got a stunt double, right?
Right.
Okay.
You know Daniel Craig does not do that shit, right? Okay. No. All right, let's go to the bonus round. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right. Bonus round to guess the race. Double the points, double the race. So far, everybody is 2 for 2. Let's see how they fare in the next round. Everybody should be getting a little nervous. A Boston woman confronts a man secretly filming her on the street, says, "Am I making you uncomfortable?" A Boston woman recorded her public confrontation with a man she said was filming her and underage girls without their consent in an effort to raise awareness over that kind of harassment. "I could see him zooming in on women's crotch areas," Jace Dillon said of her encounter with the unidentified man. "He had a camera positioned low. He was zooming in on crotches. When they walked by, he would nonchalantly turn and zoom in on their asses." Oh man, I watched some of his work. Dylan said she caught the man filming her as she approached her car on Thursday afternoon, at which point he flipped around and tried to hide his camera because he was parked near her. She said she was able to look through the camera's viewfinder to while adjusting her side mirror. At that point, she allegedly saw him videotaping two people he described as very obviously underage girls. Well, I haven't seen that word. No. So then, so
everybody I seen was adults and they signed papers.
Right. So you then called police and asked for an officer to take a statement and look into the matter. Dylan said, but then it decided to start following him. After telling him for about 5 blocks, she pulled out her own camera and captured her demand that the man delete the footage he took of her. "Am I making you uncomfortable?" she asked. "You don't like being filmed about without your permission?" After initially denying the accusation and telling Dylan to get the fuck out of here, the man asked, "Why do you think I would need your permission first of all?" Before, so he admitted he did it. Mm-hmm. He was like, "I didn't do shit. Get out of here, lady. Why do you think I need your permission? It's a public space." Before stopping short, as Dylan yells at him for wanting to argue about legal semantics, she later says the man is wearing a wedding ring. Damn. The video has been seen more than 1 million times since Dylan posted it on Facebook. FXTV reported that local police are not investigating the incident because the man was filming on a public street, which is not illegal. Watch Dylan's recording.
But you ain't gonna be defending my drawers though as I walk around with a skirt.
Mm-hmm. It's public property, Karen.
Public my ass.
Pubic property too. Don't see them pubic hairs. So she's following him. So he obviously knows he's been busted. He tried to walk off casually. So he keeps his camera in a bag, it seems.
Does this make you uncomfortable? What
the fuck are you doing?
I'm videotaping you the way you were videotaping me.
Okay, I don't know what you're talking about.
Can I see your camera?
Oh, just want to see my camera.
Because you've got some really beautiful footage of myself and all the other girls.
What the hell are you talking about?
I've watched you.
Get out of here.
I'd like to see your camera, please. I'm sorry, am I making you uncomfortable? You don't like being filmed without your permission?
Yeah, he know, and see, he one of those people that, because this is his creep of pleasure, he knows it's not illegal, but she can still embarrass the fuck out of him because it ain't illegal for her to film him either.
Right, and put him all on social media too.
You're telling me right now? You don't like being filmed without your own permission?
Yeah,
she said a bunch of people watching.
Right.
She
right.
got low. He should have went the other way. Wasn't no people.
Right.
Is that what you're telling me? You don't like being filmed without permission? Because that's what you've been doing. You have footage of me on that camera. Footage of me on there. You don't like it? Well, maybe you'll think twice next time you want to be a creepy fucking dirtbag. Fuck you. Excuse me. I'd like you to pull out your camera and delete the footage of me that you have.
It's all out of here.
You did not have my permission to obtain that.
Listen, you
did not have my permission to film me. If you could please just pull out your camera and delete it.
Why do you think that I would need your permission? First of all.
You want to talk legal semantics with me right now?
Assuming that...
You want to talk legal semantics with me right now?
Well, I'm not a lawyer.
Let me see your camera.
I'm not a lawyer.
You're well, you should have one. If you're going to be a creep and film girls on Newbury Street, you should have
get the
a look.
Fuck out of
oh,
here.
Look at that, a wedding ring.
Get the fuck out
wow,
of here.
I can't wait to put this on the internet.
Get the fuck out of here.
Wow, because is that what you were going to do?
Are you
footage
done?
Of me?
Are you done?
I just want to see the footage of me that you took.
Get the fuck out of here.
I would like you to delete it, please.
Get the fuck out of here.
No.
Damn. Well, guess the race of the dude that is filming women's on the street with his bag, of his camera bag.
Yeah, he was like,
I mean, how do you know I need your permission? He didn't have a good excuse. And that's how I met your mother, white. Too slow to run away, white. Damn, it's disappointing. Matt Damon still refuses to diversify his movie. the correct answer is Whiter Than the Clouds and Bob Ross Payton, Jared White, entitled Creepy White Man, entitled to watch whatever he wants, white. White, the correct answer is white. Mm-hmm. You guys all got it. And now sword ratchet this time. Get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here. He was so scared.
Mm-hmm. I don't blame him for doing that bullshit either. Yeah, because he didn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was okay for you to do it to other people without their permission.
And he's dead. Hey, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, right?
Yeah, this is another reason why a lot of women at Time and Fun a lot of times don't wear skirts and dresses, or either just wear pants all the time. They're like, fuck it.
Mm-hmm. I know, I'll be looking. I'll be like, let me get my camera out. And he had like a whole rig, guys. See, it wasn't like he pulled his cell phone out like, look at this booty.
Mm-hmm.
He really had a bag. Like, this was his day. Like, he was like, from 8 to 12, I go to work.
Mm-hmm.
From 12 to 1 on my lunch break, I eat a sandwich and get some booties on film.
Yep, and probably upload an X-Hamster.
The booty bandit. Man was jailed for assaulting his wife and roommate with a samurai sword, attacking arresting officers.
Oh.
Do we already do this one? I don't remember.
I don't know.
A man faced numerous charges after allegedly assaulted his wife and roommate while wielding a samurai sword while heavily intoxicated. The police say the man kicked, bit, and cursed the officers the entire time they worked to take him into custody.
Shit.
According to a statement of probable cause from the 5th District Court in Iron County, Cedar City Police Department officers responded to a noise complaint that had turned violent in Cedar City. Jason Wardle, 26, of Cedar City, was arrested Wednesday and booked for the following charges: 2 counts of aggravated assault, domestic violence, 2 counts of assault, domestic violence, intoxication, disorderly conduct, assault on police officer, 2 counts of assault, 1 count of resisting arrest, and a partridge in a pear tree. Police determined that Wardle had argued with his roommate and wife. The fight began outside and then moved indoors, and when the man's wife attempted to get Wardle to stop fighting, he allegedly agreed, but instead went to the kitchen and returned with a 3-foot samurai sword. Wardle began swinging the sword at his roommate, hitting the roommate in the shoulder area. The man's wife suffered a cut on her finger, and she tried to get the sword away from Wardle. He allegedly elbowed her in the mouth to keep her from disarming him. When the fight moved outdoors, Wardle's daughter attempted to stop the fight by putting her arms around her father, but he pushed her away from him. He also kicked his wife in the stomach and continued to assault his roommate while outside. When police arrived, Wardle ran inside the home and locked the door. Officers gained entry and took Wardle into custody. Though he no longer had the sword, he continued to fight against officers, including biting and spitting. Once handcuffed, he continued to kick at police, who responded by putting him in leg restraints. At that time, he began to vomit violently. The officers put him on his side to prevent choking. Police stated the man had a strong odor of alcohol about him, bloodshot eyes, and slurred speech. They added the man struggled to use complete sentences. The man continued to curse, spit at police. Who then had to use a spit sock on the man. Police stated the man continued to curse at the top of his lungs as he was then transported to and treated at a hospital, telling police and medical staff to fuck off, along with similar vulgar sentiments. And of course, he's still alive because he's a white man.
Mm-hmm.
Blood out. See you guys tomorrow. Rubber love dub dub. See you guys tomorrow, where JL Covan will be our guest at 6 p.m., I believe. So,
mm-hmm.
See you guys in the chat, and we will talk with the man of many voices then. Until tomorrow, make sure you go. Oh, I almost forgot. This whole show has been brought to you by Bevel. Get clearer, smoother skin with Bevel. Don't you want that, guys? They're the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. I was feeling a little groggy yesterday, looking a little rough. Had to take the razor to my face, dog. Felt real clean afterward. Felt real good. Felt like, you know, the troubles of the world were left behind. You just shaved it all off your face. That's my secret to being able to do Guess the Race every day. And fucking with black people and talk about all these crimes and police abuses. You just gotta shave it off your face, guys. So yeah, make sure you guys go to getbevel.com, getbevel.com, and you can use code TBGWT and you can get 20% off of your first month at getbevel.com. Make sure you guys support black voices, support black businesses, so that we can continue to support you guys and keep you in a positive headspace. All right, we'll talk to you guys tomorrow with JL Covan. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.